Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Stephen Jones, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs at the DoD. Also joining us in our conversation is Russ Sanford, partner in IBM's DoD consulting practice. Stephen, does the changing nature of the population, its age, its size, pose different complexities for managing health care in your mission?
Short answer is yes. Of course, as you know, it's kind of a dual mission. If we talked about is ensuring that those who are in active service are protected and ready for to meet their mission. But yet, then we also have to take care of those who are retired. And of course, as the baby boomers age, those beneficiaries over 65. You know, will continue to consume larger amounts of the health care dollar. I mean, here again, we believe that they deserve that quality care, so we want to ensure that we ensure all of our beneficiaries receive the best care possible. But it goes back to driving the cost. And last year, we had an initiative which we proposed to Congress called STB, Sustain the Benefit, that would leverage or we ask that those beneficiaries, particularly those retirees who were under the age of 65, would pay an additional copay. Our copays have not changed. Premiums have not increased since the TRICARE came into existence in 1995. So at that time, our beneficiary retirees were paying 27% of the cost to provide care. Today, they are only paying 12% of the cost because we have not increased those fees. So we proposed that to Congress. Unfortunately, it was not looked upon very favorable. But again, it's an issue that I think as we move forward, statistics show that if, you know, most of the health care dollars are consumed during the last 3 years of your life because that's when you're sick and have chronic illnesses and of course, having to avail yourself to health care. We will be putting forth what we believe to be reasonable proposals again. We hope that those coalitions and those retirees and those who are part of our beneficiary group will work with us and try to ensure that we can continue to deliver good quality care, have adequate access, but do it in a fiscally responsible way.
As you look out over the next, say, 5 years, what other types of challenges do you face or do you see, and how do you envision the evolution of your office as it faces these challenges?
Well, as you know, we can none predict the future, but we in the MHS must ensure that we meet our mission of having a ready fighting force, and then should they go in harm's way, we'll be able to treat them appropriately and, of course, also ensure that we meet our mission to those who are retired and their families. One, we hope to enhance our deployable medical capability, force medical readiness, and homeland defense by reducing the time from bench to battlefield for more effective mission-focused products, processes, and services. And I think as change continues to become more rapid, we've got to be better equipped to ensure that those changes are incorporated into our systems, into our processes, and into our products so that we can continue to have the best. Again, you know, new vaccines, new products, new ways to protect our force. Another major issue that we've addressing in our strategic plan is sustaining the military health benefit through a cost-effective, partner-centered care and effective long-term care partnerships. And that's where we talked about a partnership with those we serve so that they are living a healthy life. So they have personal readiness. Not only do we have a readiness from the standpoint of meeting the mission, but personal readiness so that they themselves are taking care of themselves in the best effective way. And hopefully our healthy and wellness initiatives will assist with that. Another area we're focused on in our strategic plan is providing a globally accessible health and business information to enhance mission effectiveness. Again, if you don't know where your money is going, if you don't have measurements, if you don't have benchmarks that you're shooting for, you're not going to be improved the system. And as we move forward with this Alta and with our electronic health records, not only will that help us from a quality care standpoint, that will also help us on the financing standpoint and hopefully drive cost efficiency and effectiveness. So we will have more transparency of what's going on throughout the entire system. And of course, we want to transform our performance-based management for both force health protection and delivery of the health care benefit. Traditionally, government has been, as you know, budgeted on what you got last year, and you know, you add an inflation factor. Well, we no longer can afford to do that. So we've got to transform all those processes through continuous process improvement, through the Lean Sigma, Six Sigma management initiatives that we have underway, so that we can ensure that we are getting the best bang for our buck. And the final two issues that we're working towards into, we're looking into the future, we've got to develop our most valuable asset, and that's our people. Our people are dedicated, they're professional, and they get the job done. And that's what makes the military health system great. But we've got to continue to recruit and retain those individuals that want to have this public service and public sacrifice. And finally, we've got to align and manage and transform our infrastructure. And we talked about the BRAC. And we can't, I don't think, depend on a BRAC every 5 years or 6 years to go back and assess what facilities we have and ensure that we are aligned to best meet our mission. So ensuring that we have the right facilities at the right place and that we are managing that infrastructure to the best of our abilities is an area that will continue to get attention.
Fantastic. Stephen, you've had a very, very successful career that has involved at least two stints in public sector, so I imagine there's something about that you've enjoyed. I'm curious, what kind of advice would you give to someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I had the chance to speak to a number of colleges last year, and I think public service is a noble choice, and as you know, at one time, in our nation, that was many people aspired to public service. Recently, I don't think it's held as high esteem as it once was. But it has its upsides and downsides, like any career path that you choose. But as I firmly believe, one, you can make a difference. Two, you're a part of something, not just yourself or an individual or a small team, but something that, impacts the lives of many people. So you have the ability to hopefully leave a small lasting impression and improvement within the people and our citizens. So I've enjoyed it. I would encourage any young person or those who are seeking about a second change in life to consider public service because it just has so many benefits. You don't wake up worrying about dreading to go to work because there's always challenges. There's always positive things that you can do. And that doesn't mean every day is a sunshine day, but it gives you a lot of deep satisfaction that you're working for your country and you're hopefully improving the lives of those citizens within that we have a responsibility for.
Well, Stephen, this has been an absolutely fantastic conversation. I want to thank you for fitting us into your schedule today. But more importantly, Russ and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and to the young men and women of our armed services.
Thank you very much, Al. And I'd just like to close, if I might, but we're fortunate to have a great country. And only by ensuring that we can defend ourselves and advance freedom around the world can we continue to have a great country. And those dedicated individuals who are willing to put on the uniform and serve throughout the world, we owe a great debt of gratitude. And it's a pleasure to work with them every day, and I look forward to working with them throughout this next year.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Stephen Jones, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs at the U.S. Department of Defense. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.